Attention, true crime podcast fan. When you hear this...
A young mother is savagely murdered in her own home, leaving little evidence and no witnesses. But investigators would find her killer through the most unlikely testimony.
Does your blood start to pump a little? Are you reaching down to turn up the volume? Shh, shh, shh. I gotta hear this, you guys. Well, have I got a show for you. It's called Women and Crime, where true crime meets criminology. And it's hosted by two real-life criminologists. Meet Dr. Megan Sachs and Dr. Amy Schlossberg from the Women in Crime podcast. Hello, doctors.
Hello.
Hi.
Can I call you Megan and Amy? Is that okay?
Oh, you certainly can.
Yes, please do.
How does someone end up with a career in criminology? I don't ever hear that as the kind of job that most kids think they're going to grow up and get into that field. How did it happen for you?
I mean, for some of us, it just starts as a childhood passion. You want to go into law, you know, become a prosecutor, watch too many crime shows, which is what happened to me. And, you know, for me, I worked in law enforcement and got a master's in criminal justice. And I guess I just wanted to keep going with it. I knew that law enforcement, you know, you do it for a couple of years, but I wanted to write about the system, research, teach students. I had ideas of ways that I could hope to better the system. And I was always a geek anyway. So the idea of going for a PhD for me was like, oh, yay, another 4 years of school. Let's do it.
Amy, how about you?
Yeah. Similarly, I loved going to school. I just applied to law school last year, so I'm always looking to go to school. But for me, it was a little different. I came from the mental health field, so after working in the mental health field, you can't really talk about mental health without talking about criminal justice and criminology, and vice versa. So once being exposed to all the issues in the system, I realized, you know, this was an area I wanted to learn more about. So then I went for my master's in forensic psych, and then I ended up in the PhD program for criminal justice.
You two must be the most qualified podcast hosts in the world today. Most people are just yahoos who know what they see on the news and just blabber about it with no inside information, with no knowledge of how the courts work or the police work or the mental health facilities work. But you guys actually know what you're talking about.
Oh, we like to think so.
I was going to say, we like to think that's what distinguishes us from other podcasters in the true crime space. So thank you for noticing.
Well, we're coming up on you being able to say a couple of hundred episodes into the Women in Crime podcast. Is it all solved, or maybe in some cases unsolved crimes? Or do you sometimes tackle things that are in the news now, cases that are currently unfolding?
We do a little bit of everything. We do cases where women were the victims of a crime, cases where women were the offender. Sometimes they're one and the same, unfortunately. We do cases of women who are heroes in the justice system in some way. We cover cases as early as, I think our earliest case must have been the early 1900s, to the most modern cases. We're actually about to record a case now that's currently in the news. So yeah, we kind of span the whole, you know, we do it all.
But we don't just pick, to answer your question too, we don't just pick cases that are solved. I think sometimes the unsolved cases need our attention even more. And we get a lot of emails and messages from people who know people who need help and need help publicizing their cases. So there are times that we cover cases that are solved because we see significant issues in those cases that we can talk about. But there's times where we really like to publicize unsolved cases, especially when they're not getting the attention that they need.
That's so interesting to me because I live in the UK where the media are not allowed to discuss ongoing cases. And your podcast is high profile enough now that you could be talking to potential jurors or people who are actually involved in the case. And I wonder if you think about that in the back of your mind sometimes as well. We really could be making a difference in real time to this particular crime.
So I think that's exactly why we do what we do, because everyone that listens to our podcast is a potential juror. And we always try to tell our audience, you know, just because something seems some way, that doesn't mean it is that way. It's, you always want to question everything. You have to critically examine the evidence in front of you. Don't take anything at face value. And you know, I hope that our listeners become jurors because our listeners are really smart.
They're really interested learners and they really take, you know, we talk about action items and they take action items very seriously. We are very lucky with the audience that we have.
Are you surprised that the true crime genre is so popular in podcasting? I don't think before the first podcast dropped, anyone would have predicted it. Maybe you would have.
Not before Serial. No, certainly I wouldn't have. But Amy was actually a listener before I was in true crime space pretty early on, right, Amy?
Yeah, I've always been interested in just learning about cases in general. So Megan, you know, you're a big consumer of documentaries. So for me, I was just in the car a lot. So my version of the documentary was the podcast. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that people are interested in true crime. I think, you know, people just have this fascination with trying to you know, figure out what went wrong, how they could protect themselves, learning from these stories, and, you know, really trying to see how they fit into these types of stories.
The most shocking thing I've learned from researching this interview and listening to a bunch of your work, ladies, is how many crimes there are where somebody is not only wrongfully convicted, but a crime never occurred. That was shocking to me. And it was a very high number, if I remember correctly. The estimate, anyway, is oftentimes that happens where somebody goes to jail and there wasn't even a crime committed. Could you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, this is an area that is so fascinating. It's what's called the no crime wrongful conviction. So you have a wrongful conviction where the wrong person was held responsible for a crime in which there actually was a victim. But all the more infuriating is cases where our system wastes the time and the resources pursuing a case where there's not even a victim. There's no crime that has even occurred. So we've covered countless numbers. One that always sticks out to me is Joanne Parks, who unfortunately her whole family, well, all of her children died in a house fire. And she was convicted for arson and murder of all of them. And, you know, years later, decades later, in fact, they found out that it was actually an electrical fire. Or, you know, Patricia Stallings, a woman who was wrongfully convicted for the death of her child. And it turns out her child had a pre-existing medical condition that he was born with, simply a genetic disorder that nobody could have predicted. And she also was wrongfully convicted of his murder.
I think about Cameron Todd Willingham as well, who is long thought of in our field as a wrongful execution. Mm-hmm. He was executed for the murder of his children. I believe he had three children, and it was an arson investigation. And it's been debunked as junk science, but many people believe that it was an accidental fire, and he was executed. So It's really terrifying.
In most of those cases, it's not malfeasance. It's really probably pressure on law enforcement to close a case. And if they see something that is plausible, even if they can't 100% be sure, do you think they just kind of go with it?
Yeah, a lot of tunnel vision, setting your sights on one theory and following that theory. Then confirmation bias sets in, where you're only looking at the evidence that confirms your pre-existing beliefs about what happened. And when we have women in particular, you know, if the woman is someone who has violated gender norms by perhaps having an extramarital affair or not being a, quote, good mother, then that's going to work against her. And all of a sudden, she looks like somebody who probably wanted to kill her children.
The podcast is called Women and Crime. We are talking to the host, Dr. Megan Sachs and Dr. Amy Schlossberg, here on Podcast Radio. Are you able to enjoy TV shows about the topics that you discuss for real life cases? Can you sit down and enjoy a nice, juicy How to Get Away with Murder? Or are you just picking it apart because of how unrealistic it is, because you know how things really work?
I probably can't enjoy the dramatic ones anymore, even though I will say Law and Order is still a guilty pleasure and I can find, you know, bits of truth and reality in it. So I can still enjoy that. Most of them I wind up picking apart, though, and saying, oh, that's not even close to being real, or this is not, you know, yelling at the screen. But I like the documentaries. I do like the true crime doc space, even though I know a lot of those can be biased as well. I do appreciate the story that is told, and I learn a lot about cases that might interest me, even for the podcast or just in general in my research or in life. So I can still very much enjoy the true crime space.
I want to bring your attention to another famous criminologist named Taylor Swift, who wrote a song called Nobody, No Crime on her Evermore album. And she includes these lyrics. Good thing my daddy made me get a boating license when I was 15, and I've cleaned enough houses to know how to cover up a scene. What don't we know about how to really scrub a crime scene? Because I feel like that is an area where a lot of people don't understand how advanced science is, and it's not as easy as just a mop and a rag.
Well, first of all, I must say I'm a huge Swiftie, so I appreciate the reference very much. Yeah, I think sometimes people don't realize that just because you can't see it, you know, that doesn't mean that law enforcement won't be able to see it. So just because you wipe up a mess doesn't mean it's gone. Megan, would you agree?
I agree, but I think it's even simpler than that. I think most people get caught, I'm not kidding you, who commit serious crimes because of their cell phones or because they're on video buying a shovel and tape and cleaning supplies in Walmart.
Always Walmart. Yes.
And yes. I cannot understand for the life of me how this is still a common phenomenon among people who are committing these crimes.
And I don't either, especially since those cases are so widely publicized. Clear out yes. your browser on your computer once in a while. Do not Google how to bury a body.
But Gene, even if you clear out your browser, you know, the police are sophisticated these days. They could find everything you've deleted. So don't even use your computer.
And don't bring your cell phone to your crime scene. Just yes. leave no, it at no. home.
We did learn that from Serial about triangulation, right? They know where you yes. are. So that is actually a very good tip. Yes. I mean, I hate to make light of this because obviously in many cases we're talking about serious and violent cases, but
right.
do you ever stop to think just as a parlor trick, just as a fun conversation, could you get away with a serious crime with what you've amassed, the knowledge that you now know, or do you think you would trip up in some way that you don't even know yet?
It's an interesting question because James and I do discuss that, my partner and I. Could we get away with it? And you know, I tend to be overconfident, unfortunately, Gene, so I probably think I could get away with something, although right. most people just can't. Even knowing what you know and having the knowledge, it's so easy to slip up. It's so easy for your face to be caught on camera, a fingerprint to be left. I mean, the simplest and smallest of things.
Women in Crime is part of the schedule here at Podcast Radio. We'll be running episodes all the time, but of course you can get it wherever you get podcasts. And it sounds like you guys are psyched about this show and it's going to be running for a long time, right? There's plenty more to come down the pike.
No shortage.
That's the plan.
Doctors, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on Podcast Radio. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor. And every week, I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food. So come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.